today is the 30th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be a Mass tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, so I encourage you to make special effort to call us up at Offa that you have a Monday morning Mass. If possible, it's fine. Part of the reason for us having the later Mass today is that this past week I was doing a bit of a mission circuit in Eastern Canada, all the way to Newfoundland. The connection there was that they normally only have Mass every 2 months, every second month, two or three days. And over the summer, they had requested to do five for Saturday. So other priests were covering that, but they asked my help for September. And for some people have known for many years, so it all worked out as far as them making it five for Saturdays. And then I realized it wasn't going to be realistic to try to both have Mass at St. Justin's and get back to Michigan. So we used it as an opportunity for a later Mass, a benefit for some of you who come from a greater distance, and also then for our potluck. It looks like the Holy Angels have sent us some air conditioning. Saying the irony, it's actually cooler here than it was in Newfoundland. So, which is unusual, usually our storms go that way. But just to remind, and then along the way yesterday, but there were storms. Washington up and quite a delay, but thank the Lord I got here. So just to bear that in mind. And then looking ahead, we'll be Mass in 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks, and then talking about First Fridays and First Saturdays, that First Friday, First Saturday weekend of October, so I would like to make that have a special devotion and projects of please count on that. Look ahead to it and benefit from it. So those are the things to do, and then the graces to ask. Not this coming week, but the following week is Ember Week of September. So Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are days of fast and partial abstinence. Remember, the partial abstinence is not just for those who are fasting age and condition, but it's everyone from age 7 on up. The beginning of the new season, and we sanctify it by fasting and by prayer. So do note that in your calendar, especially in September, as a way of speaking out loud. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, to Abraham were the promises made, and to his seed, he said, not, and to his seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Now this is said that the testament which was confirmed by God, the law which was made after 430 years, doth not annul so as to make void the promise. For the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then was the law? It was said because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom he made the promise, being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Was the law therefore against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily justice should have been by the law. For the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Take it from that according to St. Luke. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain town, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But when he said, when he saw it, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was made clean, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And and this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, where not can they flee, and where are they not? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but the stranger. And he said to him, arise and go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole. For the words of the Holy Gospel bear sin through love. One of them, when he saw that he was made clean, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in this miracle of our Lord, we have a very important lesson for us, a very applicable one to ourselves and our lives. And first of all, I say, what is the background here of these lepers? What was leprosy? Something that in our day is almost unknown, not totally unknown, but almost unknown. So leprosy is an infection. It gets in, leaves a bacterial infection, I guess, in the skin, and it makes big blotches in the degeneration of the skin. Eventually, it gets into the other fibers of the body, and one of the things that it attacks is the vocal cords, so the voice of a leper becomes a very frightening thing. Ultimately, hands and fingers and ears and nose will actually fall off. So because of this, I think there's a stench with it as well. But it's also communicable. So in the past, those who had leprosy were segregated. And it wasn't just, well, you maybe shouldn't have. They were forcibly segregated. So the Mosaic law was that these people had to stay outside of the city. And they would be assisted by those who were there. And so they had stayed afar off. And even in our own country, both in the continental United States and in Hawaii, if you think of Father Damien, people who were infected with leprosy were basically arrested and sent to some place, a place of detention, in order that their leprosy not spread anymore. So not only was it an attack on one's bodily health, but also social health. People were, and then, separated from their families and their communities. So when these men then asked our Lord to help them, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, not only for their bodies, but also for their souls and their social relations. So our Lord cured them. Now, in our day, one of the things, this is a wonderful issue of antibiotics, for the most part, leprosy is fairly treatable. So all the it's only to be found in places where there's not good hygiene. Again, it was such a curse at that time. Leprosy is often taken as a symbol of sin. The leper is still a human being, but this eats away at his body. And so by sin, we're still a human being, we still have our human nature, but sin eats away and destroys grace, and of course, eventually, the mortal sin is going to be the eternal hellfire. So our Lord cured these men. And of course they were very happy. But what do we notice is just one of them, a Samaritan, which was Jews looked down upon, one who comes back and say thank you. And of course our Lord points out the failure to say thank you of the others. And then blesses this man. He says, arise, go their way, for their faith that made me whole. So that's a reminder to us of the importance of thanksgiving, the virtue of thanksgiving, to return thanks. It is something that we should be doing every day. And then in a special way, at particular times and particular events in our life. Thanksgiving, the virtue of gratitude, is connected to justice. It's called like a partial part of justice. Strictly speaking, justice is when things are made even. So if I sell someone something and he or trade something, give you this and that, we might say at a certain point, okay, you give me this and I give you money and something else. We're even. That's a term we're often used. The matter of justice to a certain equality. with gratitude, it's not payback. It's rather express a thank you for something where we really can't pay it back. So it has something in common that there's acknowledgement of a good either thing or favor received, but it's not, it doesn't go back to equality. So we can never, for example, pay back God for what he's given us, but in the sense of making it equal, we can return or pay back in a sense of gratitude in a fitting way. And certainly is what God asks of us, and it gives him glory. And so the gratitude then can be for the things of our soul, especially the grace of being forgiven our sins, the baptism. In many cultures, people celebrate the day of their baptism. Why, that's the day when they were born to Christ. It's interesting, tomorrow is the birthday of Our Lady. She's the, there are only three birthdays that we celebrate in the liturgical calendar. Our Lord, of course, Christmas, St. John the Baptist, who was sanctified in his mother's womb, and a blessed mother, for the privilege of her immaculate conception, was born in the state of grace. All the other saints, especially the martyrs, talk about their birthday when they leave this world and they go to heaven. But so just to be grateful for the sanctifying grace, to thank our Lord for the having knowledge and in some cases special pilgrimage to the true faith, for having one another, for here having a place, the means to attend Holy Mass, for the material things that we have that we just take for granted. We can turn on the tap and drink the water. In many parts of the world they can't do that. And then on and on and on it goes. So we have many things that we can't, we must say, I didn't accomplish this just for myself. Rather, it's by God's providence. And even if it's something that I went out and made or grew or whatever, that is available for me to do and that I have the strength and the know-how to do it, is, again, that's something that I made for myself. So we go back to those very profound words of St. Augustine, God who made you without yourself will not save you without yourself. So there are all these benefits for which we need to show gratitude. First of all, to God above, and secondly, to our various benefactors in this world, whether we are our parents, our neighbor, or just sometimes just a stranger. How is gratitude done then? Well, first of all, it's within our will and our mind, we might say within our heart. To recognize that we have received something good, to want to acknowledge that to the person who has given it to us, or the series of persons. So that should be in our heart. The second is in our words, to say thank you. And that can be, of course, to our neighbor, the very words of thank you, or however we do it, sometimes just a smile and an acknowledgement. There are a whole variety of ways this may be done, but to communicate it. And indeed, that's where it's so important to have prayers of gratitude. We know from sacred scripture that God has assigned the angels to carry our prayers to heaven and then his graces back to us. See that even in the Old Testament, Jacob's ladder, and say a great deal in the book of Tobias, and so on, and even in the New Testament as well. And so that's divine revelation. What might be an explanatory story is that there are different angels assigned to the different kinds of prayers. And so there are angels for the prayers of adoration, angels for the prayers of satisfaction to make up for our sins, angels for the prayers of thanksgiving, and angels for the prayers of petition. And they say, well, which angel is the busiest? And they would say, it is the angel of petition. Well, yes, we're supposed to pray for the things we need. Those lepers said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But came on us, the other three are not as busy as they need to be, especially if you came to those fall Thanksgiving. And so that should be our business, is to keep that angel very busy. So then it would be the words of thanksgiving to God we share in our prayers. We say, well, what might that, where might we find that? Well, certainly in the Mass, in particular in the Gloria, we give the thanks. We find it in our daily lives, back to the example of our Lord, grace before and then grace after meals. Instead of an experience, we tend to be more diligent about saying grace before meals, sometimes miss the one after meals, which is more purely thanksgiving. We eternally thank the Lord for these and all they've done. There can actually be a prayer of thanksgiving, that whatever prayer, say a rosary, that we offer to thank God for some benefit, some deliverance from or from illness, or having the means to pay our bills and live our lives, and so on. Just to pray a rosary with that intention. Otherwise, the rosary, so to speak, looks the same, but that's our intention, is an act of thanksgiving. And then one that we can probably put, the two that we can put into practice very regularly, one, of course, is the thanksgiving after meals. The other is, many of us pray a prayer of petition to the intercession of St. Anthony. We lose something. I don't think this is an indulgence prayer, but dear St. Anthony, please look around, something's been lost, can't be found. So that's some of us would say, if it weren't for that, I couldn't find the nose on my own face. So that's fine, but what is the example of St. Anthony? Well, one of the devotions that he encouraged was the three Hail Marys. So the way we should look at it, we pray to St. Anthony to help us find whatever it is. So many wonderful answers to that. And then we, so to speak, should pay off his lady that thanksgiving, that three Hail Marys of thanksgiving. In our daily lives, that's something we can certainly put into practice. So those are the words to God, but also words to our neighbor. Someone who helps us with whatever, even a kind word or an action or food or something, to say thank you. Say thank you sincerely. And not just take it for granted. So we should look at ourselves, at our conduct, and make sure that we are doing that. And indeed, in the time of Christian society, there were always, and there always will be, as our Lord told us, the poor. That is, those who, because of one or another physical or mental or other situation, are unable to provide for themselves adequately. They have to count on their neighbor. In our time, a lot of that ends up being hidden by something or another from the government. But in Christian society, people were supposed to look after one another. There were some who were actually beggars. Now, it wasn't one Catholic who was not looked down upon. It's interesting that when the Protestant Revolt took place in England, rather, they started to look down upon the beggars and basically put them in jail. But what is a beggar? Simply someone who takes and doesn't give? And the answer is no. So it's sort of a bargain of gratitude, my God. That the beggar needed money or food or whatever it might happen to be, and people in the charity, if you love God, would provide that. And then it was for the beggar to pray for the benefactor. So I give you the money, and then you pray for me. And the understanding is, if a poor person's gratitude and prayer is precious before God. You say, who makes up? Who comes out ahead? Greater benefit from that bargain, so to speak. It's not really the beggar, it's the one for whom the beggar prays, because we can help someone, we can give material things, the prayer. prayers bring spirit. So that may have been very commonly the case in the past, but in our own day, we all, in one way or another, have to be beggars. You know, the child depends upon our parents. Be thankful. Pray for them. One or another thing happens and we count on our neighbor. If we're given many years of this life, at some point we become unable to look after ourselves. We count on someone else. And that says we are once again beggars. And then our part of the deal is to pray. So if someone is very dependent on others, you might think, well, my life is worthless. No, if you can express gratitude, you can pray to God for those who are helping you, whether it's the family at home or even at an institution, then your life is not worthless. It is, each day is most precious, perhaps the most precious part of all of one's life. Keep positive gratitude. That's an example that comes to us from this, this Samaritan leper. But finally, gratitude is also meant to be shown by action. So sometimes, you know, it works out that we help one another. One helps one time, another time. I remember many years ago there was a hurricane that came in. I think it was in Charleston, somewhere South Carolina. And sometime before the hurricane hit Florida, the people in Charleston loaded up, helped them send it down to Florida. A few years later, another storm went the other way. And I remember hearing from someone in Jacksonville, Florida, they had gotten together tractor trailers for full of supplies and were sending them up to their neighbors up the coast. So why does God send these storms? Well, because one time we help one another, it was in one place, one time, another place, another time. So even from a natural motive, that's a good thing. From a supernatural motive, it is an eternally good thing. Let us then really contemplate this wondrous event in our Lord's life, this wonderful miracle that he worked to cure these men of the disease of their body. Realize that he works an even greater good when he cures us of the disease of sin. And then in our own hearts to have that spirit of gratitude, to use our lips to express it to our neighbors and to God, and then to be willing to do even very generous things as an act of gratitude for the favors that we have received. And that each of these things builds here upon earth, and that the great part of the joy of heaven is that the saints thank God for the good things that he's given them. They thank God for one another, and of course they thank God for the eternal joy of beholding the face of the Lord himself. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.